16, verse 24. And we'll be going into today as I began thinking about, we are, believe it or not, going a little bit in the book of Acts. Past several weeks, we've been opening up with Jesus' ascension and the different things that took place. And today I want to share about us as believers. And the importance for us as believers is an area of witness and witnessing. It's an area that the Lord had said to them that go into all the world and share the gospel. And we say, okay, I will give, pass the plate around, Pastor Tim. I'd rather put $5 in the plate to send to missions rather than me going to my neighbor and sharing with them. But God has not only asked us to put in an extra $5 here and there in the plate for missions, but he's actually asked us to do so much more than that. And it's the boldness of proclaiming what he's done in your life personally. And it becomes a boldness. It becomes something inside of us that we need to begin to develop. And we need to begin to get used to this idea that we're stepping outside of our comfort zones. Because I guarantee you, when you begin doing it, it's going to make you very uncomfortable. It's going to be very, very uncomfortable. And there'll be doubts. There'll be things inside of you will say, don't do this. There'll be areas of your life where you say, no, I can't because of. But when Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, and we don't like this part, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. See, we would rather him say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him know that he's going to be blessed and he's going to stay in this constant state of comfort. And he's never going to have to be required to do anything that's going to take them outside of their comfort zones. But that would not be the life that Jesus modeled for us. Jesus was constantly taken outside of what he would call his comfort zone. He was taken out of heaven for us. He was raised for us. He went to the cross for us. He did all of those things, taking himself out of comfortability so that we today can look at our own lives and stay in comfortability. It's something that goes against the very nature of Christ. Goes against the very model that he showed us. But it's something that we need to begin as believers to get good at. It is something that as we as believers need to accept that there are going to be times where Christ wants us to step out and begin to be bold in our proclamation of him, who he is, what he's done for us. To begin to take up our cross and say, okay, God, this is it. I'm going to begin sharing what you've done in my life. The hard thing is when we begin to share what God has done in our life, the first thing that we have to overcome is fear. Because fear will tell us not to share. Fear will tell us to stay silent. Fear will tell us that nobody wants to hear about it. Fear will lie to us over and over again about what people are going to think about us if we begin to share about what God is doing in our lives. I remember this one gentleman that at the Sanctuary of Hope, his name was Brother Blow. Mike's met him several times. He's a very large African-American man, very intimidating. He was delivered instantaneously from a 26-year heroin addict addiction. And God has done some amazing things in his life. And I remember he was on about his first year or so, and he was really kind of starting to proclaim what God has done in his life, and he was excited about it, and he would proclaim in church, like many of us do. We're good at that, aren't we? We are good about walking in here. We're good about using the Christian lingo so that everybody can know how spiritual we are. But then when it comes to us on the streets, in our everyday lives, when the Holy Spirit starts prompting us to share, how good are we there? And so here's this very tall African-American gentleman, very large, somebody you wouldn't want to meet in an alleyway. And he's sitting there at Golden Corral. He was telling me he was across from his wife. And he was feeling on the inside that he needed to go share with this lady that was two tables down, sitting by herself. He said she was a very respectable looking white lady. And he felt like he had something inside just to go share that God loved her and cared about her. And his wife looked up at him and she said, sweetheart, what's the matter? Because you look like there's something disturbing you. He said, I feel like I need to go share with that woman. She said, you need to because you're sweating and you look like you're about to have a heart attack. And he was fighting on the inside of himself because he just didn't, because he was scared to be able to share that. And so finally, he just slammed his fork down, got up, went over to her, said, sweetheart, I don't know what's going on. But if I could just tell you something real quick, God loves you. He died for you. He appreciates you. And he ran back to his table and sat down as fast as he could. She walked up with tears in her eyes and said, thank you so much. My husband left me this morning and I didn't know if God even cared or knew who I was. We fight with this thing, and we fight with this idea about what God wants us to do and how God wants us to share. And we are missing the people along the way that God has set us up for to be that divine encounter in their lives. And how many people's eternity can we run into on a daily basis and be the intersection of change in their life? But because we have this fear, it holds us back. Because what are they going to say? What are they going to think? What if I miss it? And so that we choose not to share, we choose not to be the very messenger who God has called us to be. Tomorrow you're going to meet people that I will never meet in this lifetime. And you might have an opportunity to share the goodness of God in their life. But you also have the opportunity to stay quiet. You have the opportunity not to reach out. You have the opportunity not to show the very love that has been shown to you in such a rich way in your life. It's us. We have that opportunity to share. And you might say to yourself, but Pastor Tim, you know, I read these guys and these ladies' lives in the New Testament, and they did so much, and they were able to overcome fear, and they were able to speak these amazing sermons, and people and multitudes of people were saved. That fear, I just can't leave it, and I don't see that in their lives. And then if you say that, then you've never read John chapter 20, verse 19, when the apostles, after the Lord was hung on the cross, and they found themselves doing the very thing that we do on a daily basis with what God has done in our lives. It says in John chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And I think that we have done that with our testimonies. We've done that with what God is doing in our lives for other people to hear and other people to have deliverance in their own lives and to be encouraged and to understand who Christ is, that he died for them. We live in a world where we have shut the doors, where we've locked the doors, and we are in there in fear of sharing with other people. We are in fear of stepping out with boldness and proclaiming the goodness of God. And if you hear anything today, hear this, that Jesus came into that room and said, peace be with you. Today in your own life, as you begin to have this self-examining time of saying, God, am I sharing enough? Am I ministering enough? Am I proclaiming you enough? I speak peace over your life this morning. Peace to begin to calm that fear inside of your life of sharing and proclaiming who God is. As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about when Jesus touched the lepers and they were healed. And they go along their way, and then one comes back and says, thank you, Lord. And what does Jesus say? He says, where's the rest of them? Didn't I do this for so many more? And I wonder if he looks at our own lives and our lack of proclamation. And he says, yeah, but didn't I do some stuff for you? Didn't I clean you up when nobody else wanted to? Didn't I touch your life when nobody else wanted to touch you? Didn't I go out of my way to so that you can understand and know that you're loved and appreciated? Didn't I send you to a good church where you can be raised up in the fear and admiration of the Lord? Didn't I do all those things for you? And you've never told one person. When I get to heaven, I don't want to hear God examine my life and say, you could have done so much more. There were so many more people I personally sent to you, and you stayed quiet. We look around the world and we often say, why God this and why God that? Is that happening? No, we cannot all change the entire world, but where God has asked us to change, if we remain silent, it will never change. We often say, well, God can raise up another. What if you are that last person in that person's life? There's an urgency within the gospel that is found in the book of Acts that along the way the church world has decided to, and especially in America, to set aside the urgency for complacency. It is time that we shake complacency off of our lives and off of our church's life and begin moving boldly into proclaiming what God has done in our life. It's because we forget that as that leper came up to Christ and he says, "Thank you, Lord." Not only does Jesus say, "Well, where's everybody else?" But he also says something over him. He says, "You're now made whole." See, at first he was healed, but now he's made whole. And as you begin going and you begin proclaiming what God is doing in your life, and I do believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a greater way, that God is able to pour himself out into you in a greater way, that God is able to do more things through you because he sees that your faithfulness is there. He sees that your worthiness is there. And just like that leper that Christ said, "You are now whole," I think there is a certain completeness and a certain wholeness that enters into our life when we are doing what God has asked us to do. And that is sharing and proclaiming the goodness of Christ inside of our lives to other people. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go beat people up over the head with the Bible. I'm not saying that everybody you meet at the checkout line, you need to make sure that you're witnessing to. There are some people you just need to leave alone. But there are those times where we feel that Holy Spirit speaking to us. No, not to stand up in the middle of Walmart and give a sermon, but just maybe to reach out and just tell somebody they're loved and they're appreciated and there's a God that died for them. And maybe it is times, there's times where he opens up the door for a sermon, but maybe there's times where he opens up the door for just a quick encouragement. But what are you doing with everything that God has given you? And fear will hold us and fear will keep us locked up with the door shut. When Christ wants to come in, relinquish the fears with just peace, be still, and continue moving forward. As I began reading the book of Acts in Acts chapter 4, this was a time in Peter and John's life where the Holy Spirit had fallen and the church was just kind of figuring out what it was and what it was all about. And they were still ministering and serving in the synagogues. And Peter and John were walking in, and it's a place called the Gate that is called Beautiful. And there was a lame person from birth that was sitting there. And he's looking for alms. He's looking for anything he can find. And Peter looks at him and says, "Gold and silver, we don't have any of that, but what I can give you is get up and walk." And the man gets up and walks, and his healing takes place, and Peter begins preaching a sermon because everybody's amazed, and the man is testifying. I mean, it is an exciting church scene. And then all of a sudden, Peter and John are arrested, and they're thrown into the prison. Okay, Peter, now what are you going to do? Because not too long ago, Peter, you were denying Christ to a slave girl. But now, Peter, you're going to stand in trial to the very ones that tried Christ. And they're going to ask you to deny him. See, we're sometimes, I think, afraid because, well, you know, I tried this whole witnessing thing. I tried to proclaim, and, you know, I just fell all over my face, and I didn't do a good job. So I'm clearly not called to do that. Christ will always give us, and the Holy Spirit will always give us opportunities after opportunities. And so here's Peter with his next opportunity, and it's such a large opportunity. And he's standing there after spending an entire night in prison, knowing that these men can do whatever they want to with them. And he begins proclaiming in verse 7 of Acts chapter 4, "And when they had sent them in the midst, when they had set them in the midst of them, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" They can't deny what Christ had done, but they just want to know who had done it. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no one under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Peter, standing up, not too long ago he was denying. Today he is proclaiming the goodness of Christ with a certain amount of boldness to him. We need to relinquish fear out of our lives to be able to do this. We need to not allow fear to take hold and take the place inside of us, but we need to begin to proclaim with boldness what God has done for us. And I think sometimes as Paul is reminding us to share our testimonies in other scriptures, and he reminds us over and over again, in many places it tells us to share what God is doing, share those testimonies. And you know, I remember as times when I used to be very scared to share what Christ has done in my life, I remember looking back and saying, you know, whenever I share, I generally actually get more out of it than the person hearing. Because I need to hear what Christ has done in my life. I need to hear how he has set me on solid ground. I need to hear how he loves me. I need to hear how he cares about me. And as we begin to share, it builds other people's faith, but it continues to build our faith as well. And I see people that are weak. I see people that are angry. I see people that are going around and just having the Christian Sunday morning motions. And they have never shared what God is doing in their lives, even though it's so clear and evident of everything that is going on. We need to relinquish that fear inside of our lives. But something that profound I found in chapter 4, verse 13 in Acts, is an area I think that many of us begin to miss. And it says that now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. See, they didn't go to seminary. They didn't have a fancy Bible degree hanging up. They didn't take an online class from Regent or Liberty. But they did have something else. See, because we will say and we will look at, well, you know, that's the pastor's job. That's what we pay him for. The reality is tomorrow you'll run into people again I'll never be able to talk to. It's all of our jobs. To everything that Christ is doing inside of our lives, so they could not rely on this idea that they had the degree. They looked at him and they said, no, these aren't educated men. Do we get so worried about what we're going to say, how we're going to mess it up? What if they ask a deep theological question I don't have the answer for? What if? And we will stop because we're so scared of the what-if questions that probably will never come, instead of turning around and saying, what if they hear that God loves them and it's a breaking point in their lives? What if they hear that God died for them and they come to a fuller understanding of who he is? What if they hear part of my testimony and it resonates what they're going through? And because it resonates what they're going through, they're encouraged to continue moving forward. And if we begin to change that what if around into what could be based on the power of the Holy Spirit active in our lives, then what God could do with that is an amazing thing. But we will allow that what if to hold us in our place and never allow us to move forward. And it says that they had realized in verse 13 that they had been with Jesus. Are you spending time with him? See, I'm convinced the more time we spend with him, and I'm not talking about a Sunday morning experience. I'm talking about Monday through Saturday in our word, worshiping him, drawing ever closer to him, that people will see that inside of your life. And I'm not just talking about filling up the gas, jumping back in the car and driving away, and somebody's like, wow, that must have been a Christian. They didn't spill any gas. I'm talking about us speaking out of love. See, because the more time we spend with him, we have this revelation that actually Christ, yeah, he did die for the whole world. He died for people. He died for me, and he also died for them because he loved them so much. And so he died for me, and he set me up, and he's filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's done all those things so that I can proclaim who he is to other people and the goodness. The more time we spend with him, we have a revelation of that, and we also have a relation of his deep love for us and all of humanity. And so when I begin to speak to other people, it doesn't sound like I'm condemning them. It doesn't sound like I'm persecuting them. It doesn't sound like I'm angry with them. But it sounds like somebody that loves them and cares for them. Because as we spend time with him, that love begins to develop in a greater way inside of us. I remember of an interview with Rick Warren. And Rick Warren was speaking, it was actually on CNN, and it was years and years ago. And they were asking him about, well, you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Why do you tell people that? And he said, because I really do. And I really love people. He said, if I had a neighbor and the neighbor was extremely helpful to me and it was a perfect neighbor, and he helped me out anytime I needed him. But he only believed the only way to heaven was by wearing a purple tie on Tuesday, and he never shared that with me. Did he actually ever really love me? And we have neighbors and people we run into all the time. And we say we love them, but we have never shared the love of God with them. Can we actually ever say we truly love them? Enough to step outside of our comfort zone. Enough to have some boldness. Enough to allow the Holy Spirit inside of the storms that will rage as we get ready to just say, peace, be still. And begin sharing with love and compassion into the storms that could potentially be going on inside of their lives. Church, Christ died for us. He rose again. He set us up. He loves us for so much more than just the holy huddle on Sunday morning, but it's so that we can go forward and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share and make a difference in people's lives that we will meet Monday through Saturday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a great testimony to be able to share, to be able to proclaim with other people. Whether that's just reaching out and saying that God loves you, and I do too, or whether that's fully leading somebody into salvation. Lord, your words were go and proclaim. Lord, help us overcome our fears. Help us with boldness. And let us spend more time with you so that we're able to proclaim all of this out of love. We thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, as we get ready to close, if you've never made him Lord of your life,